Tonight's Shear.
Hi, person listening to this.
The Tonight Shear is entitled Hatred for the Wicked, or What is Judaism, a Religion of Tolerance? I think that's something that comes up a lot in different contexts, especially when we're talking about, let's say, non-religious or non-Jewish, or what are the parameters of tochacha, our obligation to give rebuke, something that comes up an awful lot. And I thought it would be important to talk about what it should be our approach to, let's say, the unaffiliated, what should be our approach to people who are not, you know, doing, objectively not doing, following Torah mitzvos, they're doing averos. You are, Joey.
I'm
welcome.
Sweaty, I apologize.
Straight from practice.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at them. Serious
actually,
English.
Actually,
how much light stuff did you get for an internship?
So,
I assume it's all
the first. We'll start with the sugya of the chiyuv of tochacha, the mitzvah of tochacha. There is a commandment to give rebuke to someone who's not doing the right thing. So, where does that come from? It comes from a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. The pasuk says, this is source number one, that lo sisna es achicha b'levavecha, you should not hate your brother in your heart. Hocheach tochiach es amisecha. You should surely give rebuke to your people. Lo sisa alav chet. You should not have chet. You should not have avera. And fascinatingly enough, the next pasuk is lo sikum lo sitor es b'nei amecha v'yahatu v'yecha kamocha. So right away we have the hochiach tochiach, we have the obligation to give rebuke, and then leading up towards v'yahatu v'yecha kamocha. So just to understand the juxtaposition is that we have a general goal of bringing people close, of having love between the Jewish people. But we still have this obligation of rebuke. So how do we get from rebuke to love? What's the progression? And specifically, the pasuk says, "Lo sisna sachicha b'levadacha." So the Mefarshim all discuss how these things interact. Some say that specifically you should express your hatred so that it's not in your heart. It says b'levavecha. So how does this work? We're supposed to be expressing hatred. So let's. I wanted to start actually with a story that I heard. It's a beautiful story from Rabbi Becher. Rabbi Mordechai Becher, he's a student of Rabbi Moshe Shapiro Zatzal. And he said a beautiful story that he was walking out of the yeshiva one day. He started in Rabbi Moshe Shapiro's yeshiva. And he walked into a taxi cab. And the taxi cab driver said, "Oh, where do you learn?" And he said, "I learn in this yeshiva, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro's yeshiva." And he said that, "Wow, Rabbi Moshe Shapiro, I keep Shabbat because of Rabbi Moshe Shapiro." He says, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" So, "Oh, welcome, Shai. Good to see you. It's been a while." Maybe pass Shai a source sheet over here. So, Rav Moshe Shapiro, the taxi driver, said that one day it was raining, and Rav Moshe Shapiro was like, I don't know, it was Arab Shabbos or something like that. Maybe it was like a rushed Thursday night. I'm not sure the exact details, but he was in a rush, and it was raining outside. He walked into the cab, and he looked at the cab driver, and he put his hand on the cab driver's hand, and he said, "Do you drive on Shabbat?" And the cab driver looked at him, and he just couldn't bring himself to say that he drives on Shabbos.
But Moshe Shapiro was the passenger.
He was a passenger, and he was just asking. He said, "Do you drive on Shabbos?" Right? And he looked into the eyes of the cab driver, and the cab driver was looking at him. The key was in the ignition, and this is the cab driver telling Rabbi Becher this whole story. And he said, "I couldn't bring myself to tell him, you know, I do drive, but I also couldn't say that I don't, because that's lying." So he said that on the spot, he accepted upon himself that he's going to keep Shabbos. And that's why he said to Rav Moshe that I do not drive on Shabbos, and I keep Shabbos. So that's a real life story of someone who was literally moved just by the way that Rav Moshe Shapiro, I don't know if he ever found out this story, but he was coming from a place of love. He wasn't giving him rebuke. He wasn't saying, "Oh, how can you not drive on Shabbos? I don't understand. I'm not going to drive in a cab that someone drives on Shabbos, of a person who drives on Shabbos, right? I'm not going to be a passenger of a cab driver who's a b'chal Shabbos." He, you know, I don't know. This is not the topic of our shir, but maybe there is. Maybe that's a but he had such a real obvious straw, and it was coming from a place of love that was able, this cab driver, without even arguing, was able to accept. So how do we deal with these sources which seemingly imply that we have an obligation to give tochacha? And we'll see there's actually a very extreme how far we have to go to give this tochacha. So let's start with some of the sources, and then we'll try to develop what the parameters are of the mitzvah of tochacha. Yes, Yonatan.
Do you believe in the dictum, let he who is without sin cast the first stone?
It's so Christian.
It sounds like it's phrased in a very New Testament type of couching. But I think that... But I do
that?
Think that there's a halacha that the Edom who testified about Amasis, I'm pretty sure that they are, at least in the Psukim, I don't know all the different details in Sanhedrin, but I'm pretty sure that they do have to cast a stone. It doesn't mean that there's always going to be stoning by every Avera, but... It's not really our topic, but it's a good point.
I just thought it was some, at least tangentially related.
It's a tangent, but I hear the point. But my question more is like generally, what are the parameters of tolerance? Do we believe that Judaism is a tolerant religion? And if so, if we do believe that, we leave space for people who are not yet fulfilling the law, objectively speaking. We're not talking about people who are trying, but sometimes they fall short. But people who generally do not follow Torah mitzvot, do we have space for them? What is our relationship? How do we see ourselves interacting with them? What is our should be the proper interface? And seemingly, the mitzvah of tochacha doesn't seem to leave room. I thought you were going to say live and let live. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Okay,
do we believe in live and let live?
I don't think we do. That's why I was asking about the
so
other.
So it seems like we certainly don't. We would seem, from this passage, we do not, in a very general way, do not take it to be live and let live. But what does that mean for us? So, the Gemara, this is in Gemara in Erechin, even though we do have this obligation of Hocheach Tochiach, the Gemara in Erechin says, in Daf Tezayin Amabez, and this is source number 2, the Gemara says, how do we know that if a person sees a blemish or something which is wrong in someone else, how do we know that I have an obligation to give him rebuke? So the pasuk says, "Shenamar hochiach tochiach," right? Hochicho v'lo kibal minayin sheyachsev yochiyenu. How do I know? The Gemara assumes this. The Gemara says, "How do I know that if I give him tochach, I say, Yonatan, you're spacing out during davening," and he's like, "I don't care. Get out of my face." It's none of your business, right? So then how do I know that I have to go back the next day and say, "Hey, Yonatan, you're spacing out." Yonatan never spaces out. That's why I picked him. I specifically picked him because he has a beautiful kavanah during tefillah. So Tamid Lomar, Tochiach Mikol Makom. From any place. What does that mean? In any scenario, you always have to keep returning to give Tochacha. I think that the Gemara is saying, Tochiach Tochiach, meaning it's a double lashon. I would think that means even to whiten his face, even to really embarrass him, to really give him, you know, public embarrassment. Tamid Lomar, lo siso alav chet. Don't go too far. Don't embarrass him publicly. It doesn't say exactly how you'd whiten his face. Like you could whiten someone's face even by doing something privately, but don't go so far. Tanya was said in a brisa, Amri bitarfen, tama ani. I'm astounded. Im yesh bador, or I would be astounded in this door if there is someone in this generation. Shemekabel tochacha, I'll be astounded. And this is Rabbi Tarfon, in the times of the Tanaim, that he'd be astounded to know if anyone is alive in his generation that could accept proper rebuke. Right? That's a very
what do we mean
very
by rebuke?
Saying you're doing the wrong thing. You should not be doing that. Don't you know the Torah says that you're not supposed to be speaking lashon hara? So Rabbi Tarfon saying in his day, and this is, you know, thousands of years ago, he would be astounded if anyone was able to accept proper rebuke. So it gives a little bit, okay, and it gives a little bit of an achama that in our generation I think it's very hard to find people who could accept proper rebuke.
That's not true. Why do you say that?
That's very good. Im amar lo tol kesa mi bene necha. What are they going to say?
5 seconds here.
So if they say, "Oh, you have something between your teeth, the small little thing between your
you have something small between your eyes.
Sorry, enecha, your eyes. Omer lo tol kora mi bein enecha. They're going to say back to you, "You were telling me I have something between my eyes? Hey, you got something even bigger between your eyes, right?" And Rashi explains over here, what does that mean? It means that Klomar, this is source number three, Rashi over there. Klomar, avum katun should be yalcha. I tell you, of a small avera. So they're going to come back right back and say, you think you could tell me that? You can't tell me that, right? This is a classic, right? You say to your roommate, you say, hey, last night, you know, you came in at 3 a.m. and you were shining flashlights in my eyes and you know, calling your girlfriend on the phone and you were just like rambling on. I was trying to sleep. So then your roommate's going to say, hey, you think you're perfect? Last week you went to dinner and I asked you to get me some food and because I couldn't make it and you just totally forgot and you left me hanging. Right,
that's me and my
right. So classic Rashi saying, right, this is something to be that we see is true for the Gemara, true for Rashi, true for us, that very hard to give someone rebuke and for them not to counter and to put up defense mechanisms and reflect and reject your rebuke in a very, what's the word I'm looking for? A very obnoxious and forward way. And that's what Rashi says. They're going to say, how can you say that? You do. Last week I saw you were doing a virus, right? How can you tell me that I'm doing something wrong? So, that's one statement the Gemara makes. So after the Gemara says you have a chiyuv to do it, the Gemara says basically we don't know anyone who could accept it. The Gemara says, also, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, Timani, I would be astounded in Yesh Bador if there be someone in our generation Azat who knows the proper way to give rebuke. Nobody knows how to properly give it, right? Everyone gets, you get a little bit upset, you get a little bit personal, like, how could you have woken me up? I need my sleep, I pick my classes seriously, you're just a bum, you're taking one Sci Sims class in 2 years. Sorry. I said one class. If you take more than one, then I'm sure you're a serious student.
Hey, I'm more excited. I approve that joke.
Sorry, I was getting personal there. That's why I was giving an example. And then there you go. See, we have a great example of someone who doesn't know how to give tochacha, and that's what I'm trying to say. So sometimes we try to our best to be objective rebukers, and generally it comes out like that. It comes out like, what are you doing? Wasting your time on the baseball team? I mean, what do you get from that? Like, you don't do like
we win 2 games a year.
Exactly, 2 games, more than one. No, but it usually comes out wrong. If you're trying to get a point across, very few people could be objective and just say like, by the way, like I'm just thinking like, is this really the best thing for you as a person? I noticed that you're not really getting up for minyan anymore. I know that's something very important to you. I care about you. These are hard things that are... it's hard to be objective. I've noticed that you've been a lot worse and meaner these days. Is there something that you want to talk about?
I was just thinking that when we were like in eighth grade, our teacher, we were like trying to, teacher told us to do peer editing. So she was, instead of saying, you know, this sucks or this is terrible, just saying things like, I noticed that you used this language. People were saying things like,
I noticed just becomes the new, you suck.
Exactly. No, people said, I noticed that this sucks.
So it's more about like complain, don't blame. Like, when you do this, I feel, right? That's the classic non-confrontational word. When you say those hurtful words to me, it feels hurtful. I'm just noticing that.
I'm very touchy.
Exactly. So you have to do it in a real way.
I'm not blaming you or anything. It's just that I felt a lot of pain when you punched me the other
day. I'm feeling that when you're having a side conversation here, that it shows
cacophony.
That what I'm trying to share
total
is not
cacophony.
Worthy of listening to.
Very felt me.
But what did he say?
He says I don't appreciate the cacophony.
I noticed that when we don't have food, yeah. it makes it harder for us to learn.
Well, that's a good call. Now, Zach, who's a big tzaddik, offered to go across the street to my apartment. Zach Braverman, good man. So it's probably ready. I think it'd be a good time to go. If you don't mind, I feel bad. You're missing the shir.
Where's Eitan?
You tell me I'm with the shadow
of us. Frankel,
yeah,
Frankel. I was at the wedding on Thursday.
Oh, wow,
good gossip with the cacophony.
Shkoyach, yeah. Zach, thank you so much.
Huh? I know, no. Because the people who talk,
so,
the people don't know.
I came back around 9:10. Now it's like 9:35. It should be fine. Yeah, it should be ready by this point.
And kidnap is
right across. Thank you so much, Zach.
Take his baby while you're at it.
Guys, pay attention, then you could fill in Zach,
huh?
Okay?
So,
actually, Joey, do you mind going by the fridge, next to the fridge, by the NTA fridge? There's like a black, you know, cupboard, and it has like plates and like forks and stuff in there. Do you mind bringing
that? But there's no baby there.
There is no TV. That's true. I'm not sure. I don't understand that.
Wait, when we bring the whole thing, or just...
No, just plates and forks.
What do you do about Bein
Adam Makkah? Bein Adam Makkah, what do you mean? Should you give God a rebuke?
No.
For rebuke.
Hey, God, come on.
No, God, I noticed I haven't won the lottery the past couple times.
A guy doesn't dominate.
Right. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking, you see a Dover Maguna, not just in Midos, but you see, this guy doesn't daven at all. So Lechora, you have a chiyav, even if he's going to yell at you, you have a chiyav to give tochacha.
No, I like that idea of, like, God, I've noticed I haven't won the lottery ever. Now, I daven every day. I feel like it would be really nice if you let me win the lottery
exactly.
Once in a while.
100%.
I'm saying this to the friend.
You're saying this in a place of, out of a place of love.
Yes.
So Shai is saying, is this just by Midos? What do we think, Shlomo? If you see someone's not davening, does that apply? Does the chiyuv of tochacha apply? You see someone who punches his friend in the face like that. Okay, we see that would probably deserve some sort of.
Wasn't that tired, Crystal? But he slept in my roommate. I just got and he slept between 12 o'clock one day.
So did you give him tochacha?
No.
No. Why not? It's a pasuk. So maybe, again, maybe we don't know the proper way to do it. Maybe we, like the Rabbi Elazar ben Azai was saying, in his generation, they didn't know. So, and all the more so for us, we don't know the proper way to give tochacha. You could say that. Or you could say that sometimes it depends. It's not what you say, but it's how you say it often. But you have to be very careful, especially when it comes to being out on the makom, especially when a person is struggling with things. You know, let's say, how you doing? Baruch Hashem. So if we give tochacha to people who can't accept it, so then you're just going to create more ill will, right?
Right.
So what do we do? But we have this chiyuv. So what do you think, Max? What do you think? What's the proper approach?
Figure out how to properly give tochacha.
Very good. Okay, so figure out. You have to ask a Rebbe, find out what this guy's what's going on with him. Very often, on Emil's case, is that a guy slept until 12, right? And he's not tired. He missed shachas. Generally, he does daven. Oftentimes, try to find out what's going on in that guy's life. That's also another thing to be aware of. Sometimes there's a reason for it. It's not just like comes out of the blue. So try to be understanding. Try to think about. It was a Super Bowl.
Yeah, sometimes you don't realize like they were like up half the night throwing up.
Right, exactly. You sometimes have to look into what's going on in the situation. Okay, so let's moving on. Let's say I am personally offended by what this person's doing. Happens to be, some people have a thing against talking in shul. Something like that is their thing. Like they don't do anything else, but if they go to shul and you're talking in shul, that becomes like their... Nochama. They're pet peeve. I don't know if you know such people, but I've come into contact with such people, and I relate to that. I relate to that. Whatever you want to do, don't come into the shul and start talking. If you want to go outside, don't come to shul. But you're coming to shul and you're talking. Yehuda, what do you think about those people? They come into shul and they just schmooze the whole time. You're one of those people.
I'm not actually.
No, but you.
Those people be very annoying. Like I sit next to them in shul and I tell them to shut up.
So I hear.
It's a real issue.
So you think that does that help? Does it help that you go and? Does it help when you go tell them to shut up?
Of course not.
They start loud. Okay, I'll tell you a little. How you doing, Rami? Roni. I'll tell you a little anecdotal story. I was once in a community. It will go unnamed. And I was there for Shabbos, and join. Oh, welcome. So I was in the shul. There was so much talking in the shul. Okay, there was so much talking that the rabbi got up there and he's like, "Everyone, please stop talking." And then everyone just like, they didn't even like stop. It was just like it was literally the craziest thing that I've never seen anything like it. So I grew up. In a shul, which people don't talk during davening, which is Baruch Hashem, it's a very beautiful davening. But I feel that I have a chitzar and that I get upset. I get very upset when people are talking during davening. I don't take it out on others, but it's something that bothers me. Like, don't come to shul. Like, this is disturbing other people. You have your own problem. You can't sit. Fine, so go out in the basement. Just go learn something. Go home. Read some magazine. I don't care. But you're bothering me. So do I have a chiyuv? Of tochacha to go do I have a chiv to go and to give tochach if I know that I get mad and it's going to come out the wrong way? What do you think, Jeremy?
Depends how they would. You have to make a judgment of how they would react to you specifically saying it to them. Being who are you in their eyes? And for a rabbi of the shul, which is weird, because in that situation, even the rabbi of the shul didn't have so much control.
He didn't really. He had no influence, right?
So who would listen?
Right.
No,
so
but
that's
by the way,
point.
There are places where if a rabbi tells their congregants to be quiet, they risk their jobs by doing that.
Yeah. No, for sure. So. There's a fascinating Makorah which I heard. This is also coming from Rabbi Becher. He pointed out in Keser Rosh is the Siddur HaGra, in the back of Chaim V'Lajin, records a lot of the different Pesachim of the Gra. The Gra writes on Tochacha. This is source number four. He writes that Shalola Dabar Kashos, you shouldn't say it with a harsh tone, V'Dvarim Kashim, in the harsh words, Einam Nishman, they're not accepted, they're not heard. I think he's referencing a Pesach in Kohelis. Rak Yomar B'Lashon Racha, say it in a sweet way, say, please, I noticed that there's something that, I don't know if you realize, but last week you walked into the room and it was a little bit, you know, it was late and it woke me up. I don't know if you realize, but I know that you're generally a person who, you know, is respectful of other people, and it's something that I thank you so much, Zach. So,
now we can learn to breathe.
So,
is that original?
So that's, you have to say it in a nice way, in a sweet way. If you can't, in your own nature, you know that this is my pet peeve. The guy is talking during davening. This guy is being a total, disrespectful, let's say, in a classroom. I know in my personal nature, I cannot bear this, and I'm going to come out and I'm going to say something very extreme, and I'm going to come out in the wrong way. Potter hu melochia. The Gra writes, you're actually exempt from the obligation of tochacha. So that's a very important makor to know, that if you know that this gets you, then you are a potter. You don't have a chiyav of tochacha. It does not offend me in any way if you guys want to go take food in the middle of a shiur. I actually encourage it.
Can I say a 30-second story?
Yes.
So when I was working as a mishkiach,
loud, everyone wants to hear.
Okay, when I was working as a mishkiach in Shana Bet on a Pesach program,
there's
like this like probably late 20s, early 30s mir guy who was on the mishkiachs. And whenever he talked to the non-Jews, he like made Judaism sound so like horrible. So I like pulled him to the side and I was like,
where is this?
At Pesach program.
Oh,
non-Jewish
God. Oh.
Pulled him to the side. Oh, there's one on the side. I said to him,
everyone is trying their best to...
Okay, that was...
It's always in the first one it does that.
That is crazy. Yeah, sorry, Joe. You were saying.
Pull him to the side. I wasn't always here for him. I have like a pretty non-Jewish perspective. It doesn't look good the way you explain it. Guy like goes off with me. He's like, who are you, a 19-year-old, to give me any type of mercy? Okay, you know nothing about life experience.
And at that point, you punch him.
Exactly.
He obviously couldn't be Makabel. And you said it in a very nice way. You said, like, I don't have the most different background, so you like, so we're very open with it.
Yeah.
I hear that. Listen, I've had scenarios like that. I've told rabbis. Rebbeim that I've had certain things, and you don't always get the response you're looking for, but you try to move on.
Is this your binder?
Yes.
Sorry.
It's okay. You did not mean it in any way.
We should have like a sign. Zero days that month. We're not getting
enough. Somebody shot this way.
Yeah, I don't know
how it's possible.
It's one of
your joking. The NFL.
Nowhere but here. Ah.
It's like one day down there.
Oh, this thing.
I'll always remember this. I'll always look at it.
This is a bad idea.
That ketchup that squirted backwards. No one but you, Yehuda. Fine, so let's continue. There's another principle which supports a more, I would say, tolerant approach. Which possibly supports more of a tolerant approach, which is the principle of mutav shahayu shogin. Has anyone heard of such a principle?
Oh, that it's better that they do it by accident than you tell them that
they're
doing it.
It's like dancing on Shabbos.
Okay, what do you mean by that?
Ha ha ha, very funny.
No, seriously, I think it was the Ramah.
Yeah?
He's like, oh, like, because like the Shulchan Aruch says that dancing our Shabbos is like totally us. And then the Gemara's like, ah, oh, but don't you see people nowadays
people do
that
it?
Daven? It's like, ah, oh, Motzev Shi Shogegin.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Meaning there are poskim who actually do permit dancing on Shabbos.
Right. There are poskim that permit it. I went to Gush for Shabbos once, and they did this little shuffle. I've never seen it in my life. It's called the Gush Shuffle, and then someone told me what Gush burns are, and I felt a little bit out of it, but it's actually a very interesting minhag. They don't really fully dance. They kind of do this little shuffle. So that's their compromise. It's not really our sugya, but it's a very good point that the Rama invokes that idea of Mutav Shai Shogun, that possibly because there are authorities they can rely on, and even if you think it's wrong, but it's better to keep them, you know, doing things by accident than doing things on purpose, because you know they're not going to listen to you when you tell them.
Is that sort of like halacha being Morikin?
Perhaps. I mean, halacha in Morikin is often that we don't want to be too mekel. Like, the halacha is lakula, but if we tell people, then they're going to actually follow it. This is a little bit more that we know they're not going to listen, so rather just keep them shogeg. If we tell them and then they, you know, specifically counter and say no, that's they could be doing it for the mezid. So the Shulchan Aruch says a different scenario about people doing things that we let them continue doing. Shulchan Aruch, this is in Hilchos Yom Kippur and Simin Sof Resh Ches. The Shulchan Aruch writes that Nashim Sho'ochlos V'Shosusos Ad Shechashecha. There were women who were eating Erev Yom Kippur up until the moment of being of it becoming dark. We know there's a special mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And they were eating to the very last moment. Now, what's the problem with that? Anyone know what the problem is?
Except Yom Kippur.
Very good, Max. But we see City College. Here we go. Respect.
So
Seventh Yom Tov. Here we go. Why you represent? I'm just saying.
It's based on Seventh Yom Kippur.
Right.
Because the pasuk is Vatishal
Yom Kippur is the basis for Seventh Yom Tov.
Correct. And Seventh Shabbos as well. So there's a concept that we need to add on to Yom Kippur a little bit, right? So they're eating up until the last moment. That's a problem, right? I don't know if everyone. I personally didn't know this, but I used to like look at the time on the schedule and I bring a water bottle to shul. I don't know if anyone did this, and I'd like chug it to like the last moment. And like I realized later that like you shouldn't be doing that.
Wait, what's the
issue with that? Erev Yom Kippur.
I do that.
So the issue is you have to find out how much time the shul might be adding time to Yom Kippur. Anyways, before, but just if they're giving you literally the last moment before Yom Kippur starts, you should add on. There's a mitzvah that already. Possibly to add on an extra couple minutes to Yom Kippur, called Tosef is Yom Kippur. So these women didn't know that, just like I didn't know that, Joe didn't know that. They didn't know that, they were eating up until the last moment. They didn't realize there's a mitzvah to add on from the Chol to the Kodesh. You should not protest, you should not be mocha. Because you shouldn't bring them to be doing the Avira on purpose. In other words, we assume that they don't know. We assume that if you were to tell them, they're not going to listen to you. So that would create a scenario which you're turning them from doing things, you know, by accident to doing on purpose. And the Rama writes after this, I'm reading. We say this by every Isser. This is a very general Ramah, people quote this all the time, that we would say this by every single type of Isser. In other words, if I see someone doing something, right, I know that he doesn't know that it's wrong, so I shouldn't tell him that it's wrong unless I think that he's going to listen to me, right? Similar to, I think, what Shlomo was saying. To Shlomo, right? So, you guys were saying the same thing, that it depends how you say it. If you say in the right way, the guy can listen to you. But if you say in the wrong way, you could get him to actually rebel against you and do the avir again, b'mezid. And that's not good. And then the Rama says the famous lines of Mutav Shahayu Shogin Velo Yihu Mizidin. It's better for them to remain Shogin than to do something b'mezid. But then he says, and this is a very important klal, V'davka She'enim B'furish B'Torah. But that's only an Avera, which is not Mefurish B'Torah. What does that mean? Mefurish B'Torah is a very famous distinction. The Taz makes this distinction when it comes to whether Rabbanan's power to to uproot certain halachos. The Rabbanan are never going to contradict something which is Mefurish B'kra. There's a special Indian to follow the Torah. The Shechter holds it. If you could ever be Mekayim the Pashup Shad Pesuk, we try to do that. But Mefurish B'Torah in this context is that, let's say, it says it straight out in the Torah, let's say Yom Kippur is a good example. It says straight out in the Torah that you should be ma'ani yourself, you should paint yourself. So those things are
start cutting yourself though.
Right. So it doesn't say exactly what it is. So maybe that's not exactly considered
mefurish. It means there's five things that mean.
No,
always making it tired.
Right. No, exactly. So let's say I don't know if that is categorized as mefurish. Let's bring something that's a little bit more clear. The Torah says that you have to make a makar. You have to put up a fence around your roof, right? So that's mefurish. So if someone's not doing that, so seemingly you'd have an obligation, even if they're going to say no, but you have an obligation to tell them, by the way, this is written straight out in the pasuk. Why would that be? Why would you say that something which is Yeah, Reuben has a roof, yeah.
But houses, like the fence, like the slanted...
So it depends if people go up on the roof. If people go up on the roof, then you have to... you would have to tell that person, even if the person would say, I'm not accepting it. Why would that be? Why would something that's Mefurish B'Torah...
Because this is a matter of safety. A person could...
So that's that's just the example that I gave. It could be anything, like... well, Shabbos is a question, because the Lamed Tes Melachos are not straight out in the pasuk.
Yeah.
Sukkis, I don't know, something that says, Pesach, you can't eat chametz. That's Mefurish B'Torah. So why do you think that the Ramah is telling us that this is an actual exception to the exception, meaning the general rule is hochiach tochiach. Unless we said, we don't really know how. So Max said, so find out how. Look into what's going on. Maybe you could be more understanding. Fine. So that the exception to that of the hochiach tochiach is if the person doesn't realize what he's doing. But the exception to that exception, you with me guys? The exception to that exception is Ramah says, if it's mefurish b'kra, you still have to give tochacha. So let's go through the progression and then we'll ask a question. You need to give tochacha. There's a chiyuv, mitzvah d'oraisa. There's an exception to that. Welcome Yosef. There's an exception to that. If you don't think the person will listen to you and they don't realize what they're doing is wrong, then mutav shayu shogin. Let them, it's better for them to be doing something by accident, right? But the Ramah says that exception is not true if it actually is written straight out in the Torah. Meaning you still have to give rebuke to someone if the thing they're doing is straight out in the Torah. Before Shbakra, why would you think that's different? Amiya, what do you think?
I don't think.
You don't think. I hear you. Yes, you do. Come on. Why would you think... Yeah, Ellie, you have an answer?
No, I just caught myself from almost falling back.
Oh. Sounded like you were really excited. Oh! Jeremy?
Is it safe to assume that something on a level that's deraisa is a lot more authority... And
a lot,
and you have a bit of obligation to.
Very good. Very good. So Jeremy's invoking the fact that we say, you know, Doraisas are more chomer. We say, sorry, Doraisa the chomer. So Doraisa carries a lot more heavy weight. That's one understanding. Zach, you had another different explanation? No? There's a different explanation, which is very logical, which could have major ramifications, and we might have to end with this. We'll do a part two, what the definition of wicked is and who we have to give rebuke to and whatnot, maybe tomorrow. But we'll end with this point. What does it mean to be Mefurish B'Kra? It means that everybody knows it. Right? Everybody knows what's written out in the Torah. It says straight out in the Torah. You can't have leavened bread during the 7 days of the of Pesach. If they already know, because it's straight out in the Torah, so what would that mean? Mutav Sheyishogin. They're already doing it b'mezid. So if they're already doing it b'mezid on purpose, right? Then you're not gaining anything by just saying, oh, live and let live. I'm not going to give them tochacha. Oh, very good. So we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that in a very good point. So Yehuda's saying, okay, so one moment. So that would be the logic of the Ramah. The Ramah is saying, that's one way of reading it. You could have read it like Jeremy's reading it. If you're reading it like Jeremy, then it would be shayach even today. The rices are the same. Nothing changes. The Torah is the same. It's still chamor. It's still really strict. You have to give tochacha to someone, which is something which is mefurish makra.
But perhaps... That person is like a tinok shell...
Tinok shenishba. Very good. We'll get to that tomorrow.
But perhaps...
Tinek. You live in Tinek. You're just
a...
You're a tinok shenishba. You live in Teaneck. What can you do?
Talk to her and talk to her.
That's really funny.
Fire.
I didn't make the joke. Joey made the joke.
I'm not even mad.
I don't dive in a later.
So you hear the point? The Ramah is saying, maybe he's saying like Jeremy, but let's say he's saying a different understanding. Let's say the Ramah is saying of alumnus that Mutav Shayushogin is not Shayich, right? It's not possible to say, oh, let them do it by mistake. They're not doing it by mistake. They already know what the Torah says. You're not, you still have to tell them, by the way, this is against the Torah and you have an obligation, irrespective of if they respond to you good or, if they are accepting of your rebuke. Right, again, your requirement to give rebuke would be applicable even if they're going to reject your rebuke. So let's say that's true. Let's say that's the case, and that's why the Ramah has this exception. So Yehuda's point now is, today, I have a question. You go over to somebody and say, how can you do that? It says Mefurish Mishnah Berurah. You think the guy's going to turn around. You go to a secular Jew and you say, how can you do that? It says straight out in the Gemara. You're doing something against the Gemara. You think they're going to say, oh my gosh, I didn't realize. No, they're not going to. They're going to say, what are you talking about? Like, get out of my face, right? It's not that they already know, right? So if that's the case, then they're still in a state of shogeg. It's possible that they're still in a state of shogeg. And if you tell them, it's just straight out of the Mishnah Berurah, that's not going to compel them to do anything. So then, better mutav shayu shogeg. That's a Rabbi Becher's suggestion. Again, definitely ask a posik before deciding. These are big questions. But like, I would assume that it wouldn't be so crazy to say that if a person generally doesn't know what's mefurish in the Torah, he doesn't know, and if you're telling him, it's not going to change anything for him. Him or her, right? It's not going to change anything. So then you would actually not have a requirement to give tochacha in that context. A very important qualification which needs to be understood, I actually emailed Rabbi Becker to ask him this question, is the last part of the Ramah. The Ramah writes that v'im yodea she'in dvar b'nishma, if you know you're not, your words will not be accepted, lo yomar b'rabim lo chichan rak pamachas, you should only give rebuke one time in public, you shouldn't give a lot of tochacha. But you should give once. He does say you should say once. And this is the part that the kicker over here. Avol biyachid, when it comes to an individual, chayv lo chiko ad shiakenu, you have to give tochacha to the person until he hits you. Oh, yikalenu, until he curses you. That's pretty extreme, right? How do we? We don't generally see. I don't know. When was the last time you saw a very? Very good. So when's the last time you saw a Rebbe like giving tochacha to even a Talmud, like to the point where like the Talmud's just hitting the Rebbe? Like that's a pretty bad scenario, right? What? You've seen it before? I happen to have seen it once. It was really not good. It was extremely disturbing.
Unprofessional.
Unprofessional. Yeah. So, but we'll have to deal with this tomorrow. I'm going to leave you with a cliffhanger.
Sure.
We're going to have to deal with this tomorrow. Rabbi Becker did not answer my email yet.
See you tomorrow.
But see you guys tomorrow. And we're going to talk about part two. What do we do with this particular line in the Ramah? Who is a Rasha and do we have to give tochacha to them? Keep your source sheets.
Shout out to Michael for a shindler for making the
shot. Yeah.
What's up, Jeremy? I had to dive in for the Amid because my mother's grandmother has a yard site and I don't